Thanks for tuning in to the Let's Talk Startups podcast, everyone. It's great to have you. This show is all about celebrating everyday founders and share their unique journeys exclusively with you all. Their challenges, triumphs, and their tips should help inspire you in your own business plans.
And today, we've been inspired in a very big way as we sat down with Giancarlo Erra, the founder of Words.tel. He's often described as a disruptor, and although he's not the biggest fan of that word, the fact that he plans to take on Google and other search engines is proof that he actually probably is just that.
That's right. Words.tel is going to make it easier to find exactly what or whom that you're looking for. No more algorithms, no more paid ads, less noise, less competition, and more chance to have your brand found by your customer. It's a big ask and a monumental challenge.
We're asking the questions to Giancarlo that you're probably dying to ask him yourself. The why, the how, his plans for the future, and then testing him on his own creativity. How would he rebrand Cadbury's or Uber? And what does he really think of Google? Enjoy the conversation with Giancarlo Erra, founder of Words.tel.
Giancarlo, a very warm welcome to you to the podcast. Good to see you. How are you?
All good. Thank you very much. Thank you for having me. Yes, all good. What about yourself?
Very well, thank you.
Very well. I'm excited to talk about your startup, your vision, the plans moving forward. There's a lot to unpack. And, you know, I'm going to start with sort of disruption as a topic and sort of kick things off right there. We're certainly going to talk about the how of your business a little later, but I wanted to start off with the why, which obviously is a big question, but
yeah,
what made you want to disrupt this space in the first place, Giancarlo? And maybe you can describe what that space actually looks like as well.
Let's talk about the space first of all. The space, it's the space of search engines. And, there is a lot of stuff wrong as far as I'm concerned in there, mostly for the new and emerging businesses and people. I mean, the basic problem that I always felt is first of all, it's a monopoly, but this is the business model that I think it is quite, I would call it evil, probably, to be gentle. Basically, if you think about, I'll take Google because, you know, why not naming them? They literally make money on businesses fighting with each other for visibility. That is literally what they do. And then in the meantime, they collect your data and they sell them as well. So first they make you fight with each other and then they're filming you without telling you exactly what they're going to do with the footage. And that's how they're making money. And they own, they own the algorithms and the stuff. They invented the whole thing of SEO and, you know, ranking, all the stuff. I mean, if you think about it, it is quite, as I said, it's very genius. Don't get me wrong. They're doing well for a good reason. But at the same time, it's quite evil. And I always find it very frustrating. I mean, I am 45 and I'm using the internet since the internet arrived back then in Italy. I was working for the first internet provider. I mean, I'm seeing that all. And I still remember, you know, it's always been this is my dog, by the way. This is his Juno, if you hear her in the background. She probably is agreeing. I think since the start, it's always been a matter of gaming the system. So, you know, in the 90s or 2000, it was about getting the keywords and the description and the stuff and trying to rank first. And now it became much more complicated. And basically, the problem is that there is no space for small businesses. It's very hard to just emerge. And this is the environment. The why, I think the why probably is coming from my history. I am a professional musician, part-time professional musician, half of my life I'm an IT entrepreneur or IT engineer. I usually, when I see that things go in one direction, so when I see that everyone goes in the same direction, I always naturally want to challenge that. It's just something that I always have. With search engines, basically the thing is that it's probably what now 20 years that it is something never changed. You know, we just have Google, everyone Googles and they keep doing what they're doing. And the other parts of it, of the why, it is as a musician, I have done classic studies. So I studied languages, classic history and stuff. So I've always been fascinated by language and I always find it very frustrating that to be visible on the internet, you just can't use the language, can you? You just need to be clever. You know, when you register a domain, when you write a description, when you write a website, you have to write it because it needs to rank. You know, you write content because you need it to rank. So we are losing the why I should write a blog because I want to rank on a certain position. I want to write a blog or whatever because I want to say something. And if I want to say it in a way that it doesn't rank, why I should be like that? And that also, all of this, you know, we arrive then to the problem of today is obviously, you know, IP addresses are basically finished. Domain names, I mean, unless you're lucky, you get weird extension, long domain names. It's very hard to remember. You know, we use QR codes. We use all sorts of things to remember contacts. But, you know, it's like with Maps and Google. We are losing the capacity of remembering things. You know, our brain is fantastic. We remember stuff if it makes sense. We don't remember a random domain name or a random number or a contact phone. And this is why and how the idea of Words.tel actually was born, because I was literally driving past a van for a dog sitter, actually. Hello, Juno. And, you know, no one can see it. Probably you will hear it soon, but she's with me and she's agreeing. Basically, I needed a dog sitter actually urgently. And I was thinking, oh, if the van is around here in my zone, possibly, you know, that could help. You can be sure, by the time I was back home, I just couldn't remember what was the name or the domain or whatever. And, you know, I'm driving. I can't take a picture of everything that I see that I need to remember. And I was thinking, there must be some sort of way that I see something, can be a van, can be whatever it is, an advertising online, a billboard, and I want an easy way, a human way to remember about it. By human, I mean something that makes sense for the brain. And usually what makes sense for the brain, it is phrases, short phrases, stuff that makes sense. You know, it's not a domain name. It's like, I don't know, a name, a verb, and a subject, whatever it is, something that makes sense. And so that is literally, you know, I went back home and the day after I've been basically up all day to just write the first prototype. And then I just, you know, called my, what then became my co-founder. And that's how it started. So I think that this is the why. It is a combination of what I call an evil business model, a really, really hard time for new businesses to emerge unless you have lots of money. And going back to our capacity in our brain to remember in an engaging way about what we see without using a phone. You know, I don't need, you know, if I have a short phrase, I always make the example of the plumber. If the plumber goes around on his van and he has "fix my toilet," it is something that you would remember. You know, "fix my toilet" is a funny thing. You will remember later on. And this is the idea of the Words That Tell. That plumber is the only one that can have it. So, you know, if you remember "fix my toilet," you will find only them. So you just basically don't need any more collecting data. They decide what they want to show to people. There is no competitors. You don't need to rank. All of that stuff is gone. You don't need any of that anymore. You own your own phrase. That is your phrase or more phrases. And if you're clever, you know, there are millions, if not billions, of phrases once you combine words, and they all make sense. So that is the whole idea. In that case, the plumber, they get back their identity. They don't care about the domain name. They don't even need a website. We give it to them. And that is how it works. And this is the why.
I mean, I guess the issue, in inverted commas, is as you're talking, it just makes more and more logical sense. However, it's one hell of a juggernaut that you are taking on search engines and effectively taking on Google. And specifically, I mean, you're sort of taking on it's become ingrained in the way we do things. It's part of our language. I'll just go Google it. It's part of that sort of, I guess we've all sort of made peace with it quite for years now, haven't we? If this is just what's done, this is how you search for things, the ranking, the algorithms, right? So, you know, you're talking to us about that light bulb moment. And as I said, certainly the issue is it just all makes such logical sense. I'm nodding my head. I'm agreeing with everything you're saying. However, how do you even start to establish a product market fit for a solution to this? Because we all agree with you. We sort of see the problems you're talking about. But when it comes to actually tackling it head on and building a solution, where does that start?
Oh, I mean, it's a good question. I mean, the problem is if you, I mean, if I would start thinking about that, then this thing would never started. And usually I quite thrive into the challenge. So this is one of the things that I really liked about it. I said, it's a very simple idea. Everyone says, well, why no one thought about it before? But obviously we're talking about going against a business that we know what kind of businesses and how big they are. And as you said, this behavior of people. If I had the answer, you know, if I had a full answer already, you know, I would be a very happy person. But in my case, I think that there are a couple of aspects on it. So first of all, the problem is divided in two parts. First of all, obviously, like all businesses, in our case, this is a very network-based product. So, you know, on one side, you have the businesses owning the phrases. And then on the other side, you have the people that are looking for businesses because they are seeing their adverts online. So, you know, you tackle in two ways. I mean, obviously, you say everyone is used to it, but we all feel the pain that now if you go, it's getting worse and worse. If you go on a Google homepage and look for something, you have the first probably half of a page. It's all ads. All of them. They're all ads. So, you know, anything you search, you're spending so much time on it. And it's true, we're all used to it, but how many, you know, the history of the internet, it is full of things that, you know, we all were doing in a way. And then someone arrives and shows us, oh, actually, you can do it in, I don't know, half of the time. And then everyone converts, you know, I don't know. I was, you know, the example of the iPhone or whatever, you know, when Steve Jobs launched the iPhone, we were all still with our Nokias and flip things. We all loved it, you know, obviously. And then this guy arrives and I said, actually, no, you have a phone that is a whole piece of glass. You know, you don't need anymore the BlackBerry with the keyboard. You just have this thing. And, you know, I remember everyone saying, oh, I don't know, how can you type here? How can you do? I mean, nowadays, we're all using it. It is definitely hard. In terms of tactics, in what I thought that, and actually it's not just me, you know, I used lots of people talked to me and, you know, helped me figuring out how we could start with it. I don't like the term disruptive, but, you know, this is obviously something that is trying to disrupt something. So I think that the easiest answer is we are going to for the disruptors. You know, there are lots of people on the internet, but not only, that can see how the tech giants are dictating how we use the internet and what we do. And they are the people that are possibly already waiting for something that offers an alternative that is free. In our case, for example, you know, for the business, one phrase is free, for the users is free forever. We know, you know, we don't collect the data, we don't use cookies, we don't need accounts, nothing. You know, you literally open the app or the website and you just use it. We are not collecting what you're doing, we just don't care. We're just going completely opposite direction. So that sort of message, I think that there is a big amount of people out there that are already waiting for something like that. So the difficulty, most of all, is trying to reach them. So I don't think that the problem is how is what we need to do. The what we need to do is quite clear, but the how you reach these people, that is the challenge that we are trying to. Well, now that we are live, is the challenge that we are trying to overcome, basically.
And are there any specific sort of tricks that you can, things that have worked for you to get those initial learnings, the market research sort of stage, that sort of fact-finding stage that you maybe have gone on yourself? What worked, what didn't work?
Well, I mean, it's very interesting. I mean, we launched just recently, but last year in November, we brought our first MVP to Web Summit. And, you know, Web Summit, there were lots of people. We had our stand, lots of businesses tried it. And this is where things started emerging. So when people were trying it, the creative agencies and in particular, the bit alternative creating agencies, if you want, or marketing agencies as well, they were absolutely loving it in a way that we didn't see as well as usually happens because they were saying, oh, I want to buy not one phrase or two phrases. I want to buy 100 phrases because with my client, I'm doing a marketing campaign this month and I want to buy all sorts of different combinations. Actually, I don't need those phrases forever. I just need them, I don't know, for a month, 2 months, whatever it is, the length of my marketing campaign. And someone else was telling us, oh, what if I don't have any idea? There was one probably of the most revealing things. More than one person was telling me, I love the concept, but I wouldn't know what I want for my phrase. And I, you know, as a creative myself, I didn't really think about it. So, yeah, as you said, marketing research that we have done, literally having people trying it. I speak with lots of people. Basically, my job is speaking to as many people as I possibly can. That is what directed me towards this tactic. I mean, basically the few people, we tried a few independent businesses. Recently, we started talking with a local radio here in Norwich, Yodiara Community Radio, and they absolutely loved the idea because as a musician, one of the things I've seen immediately with Phrase, it is the audio. So, for example, when you are, I don't know, if you are not with your phone, you can ask Alexa about a phrase. We are on Alexa's smart speakers as well. So that is one of the ways where just speaking, you can ask Alexa to find, I don't know, the phone number, the email, whatever they've put in there, and you find directly them. Alexa doesn't need to search on Google and give you something else that is not pertinent. But if you think about radios in particular, radio ads, usually, or interviews, you know, if the interview is not online where you can click a link, people always say, oh yeah, you can find me online at www.whateverblongwebsite.co.uk. I mean, people won't remember that. But if you tell them, you find me, find me a fix my toilet. I go back to the plumber. Something that is funny, that is the important thing of the concept. Then you will remember it. And when there is no visual, when there is no link to click, or when you're speaking with someone, you don't need to take your phone, open LinkedIn, scan the code, whatever. Just a nice memorable phrase that is your identity and people can find you immediately. That is the basic concept. And that thing, when you speak to independent businesses, creative agencies, it just resonates. It just resonates a lot. This is why, you know, I don't need to convince them. I don't need to explain. It's just, you know, the penny drops and they see, oh, I want to use it. So this is probably why and how this tactic obviously arrived to me.
Giancarlo, before I ask a little bit more about how it works, in particular, how it could work for somebody like our own brand, Let's Talk Startups, I just want to touch on, you mentioned that you don't like the word disruptive, and I wanted to know why you don't like the word disruptive.
I think because I see this word everywhere, and sometimes I'm not necessarily agreeing as, is it really a disruptive thing, what you're doing or not? That is the only reason why. I mean, I like the meaning of the word. I just don't like, I think it is a bit, I mean, like many other words, you know, I think it's a bit overused. So this is why it's the only reason why, yeah, that's the only reason, you know, the word describes perfectly. Because obviously we are disrupting something. I don't know. I mean, might be as well, obviously, because, I mean, I am not a native English speaker. So maybe I also, this happens quite often when you are not a native speaker. I mean, I live in the UK now since 15 years, but it will never be my main, obviously, my main language. So probably sometimes I realize I see words and meanings in a quite different way than maybe a native speaker does. So there might be an element of that as well. But, you know, it's not something, you know, someone tells me, oh, you're a disruptive business. I'm not saying that, oh, I'm offended. No, no, I mean, that is perfectly fine. You know, it is a perfect description. I was just saying it is more my thing than anything else, to be honest.
Yeah, that's why I was curious, because clearly what you're doing is disruptive. I was just curious as to why you didn't like the word. Okay, so let's talk a little bit then. I know you've touched on how it works. You've given the plumber as an example, but let's take it more as a really real world example. As Let's Talk Startups, you know, we have a website, we have a podcast. You know, if we had only just heard about you today, tell us how we would actually use it.
I mean, obviously, I don't know how you advertise the podcast, but I mean, in your case, for example, Let's Talk Startups, it is like a phrase. So first thing is that you will go on the website, you will take the phrase for yourself. Once you get the phrase, you are asked to decide a title for your page. I'm going more into the details on that. A description, and then you're asked, you can add all your contact details. So basically it can be links, text, I don't know, if you were a shop, would be opening times. In your case, would be your website, your socials, whatever it is that you want to, obviously, people to find. And once you have done that, basically, that's it. You get a page with your, an SEO optimized page with your phrase as an address. So you can use it basically as a, you know, like a more privacy oriented link tree, link collector, if you want. That is probably the best description. Okay. So you can use it, for example, for sharing it everywhere. But that is not the main thing. The main thing is that now, basically, you can tell everyone, they can find you literally typing Let's Talk Startup on Words.tel website, like they will do on Google or on our app, or asking on Alexa Smart Speaker. And from there, they will find all of your contacts. That is literally it. So, for example, next time that you do, I think that the more common use is with advertising. So, not necessarily offline advertising, but obviously possibly mainly offline advertising. So physical advertising, instead of having to write a website, you can literally write, yeah, you can find us as Let's Talk Startup. Or, for example, in your case, but probably in every case, I always think, well, I always suggest that sometimes people remember more something that is that generates an emotional reaction. That is why I was doing the example of the fix my toilet. I mean, our brain, you know, when we have an emotional reaction, memory gets cemented. We always remember more the things that generate an emotional reaction in us. So I always say, you know, because people say, oh, yeah, but what happens once, for example, I mean, another podcast might ask me, oh, I want to register best UK podcast, whatever. That is what, sadly, most people tell me, oh, I want to register best this, best this. And once they're gone, and I was thinking, yeah, I mean, to be honest, that is not where the value is. Best this, best that. That is not really the point of it. The point of it is that you actually find a funny, engaging way, sorry, a funny, engaging phrase that is about your business, about what you do, something that is not only your name, something that is more, I would say, clever, for I don't know what other word to use. So something that when I read it, even if I don't remember Let's Talk Startup, because someone might be, oh, was it Let's Talk Up Startups? What is without the accent, with the accent? You know, all these kind of things. Why you don't think about something that is two or three words, much simpler. Something about startups and podcasts, whatever it is. I mean, I don't know, but this is why we've done an AI on the website. You know, if you put there, I'm a blog, I'm called like this, and AI usually comes up with very funny things. And you usually helps you finding something funny about that. So in your case, I will register your Let's Talk Startup, and then I will register a phrase that is memorable, something that you found, oh, this is brilliant. And then you, when you tell people, people will have a laugh, and then they will remember you for that. And they will find you even not remembering your domain name or your email. They don't need to remember any of that anymore. You know, what was your socials? You know, what is a social? For example, now that I don't know, after this podcast, I will want to do a post, social post. You know, what I will do, what is the handle on LinkedIn? What is the one on Twitter? What is the one on Instagram? You know, oh yeah, they were, I don't know, let's say Best UK Podcast. I mean, for whatever reason, you know, oh, Best UK Podcast, they're all there. Fine. Fantastic. You know, there is one place. If you want, is one central point of truth where I can find everything about you. And I know it is true because it's you that put that thing in there. So it's not anymore an algorithm that is scanning your data. You access the page and you decided what people need to see about you. Can be your phone, as I said, probably in your case, it's not your phone, it's your socials and stuff. It's a double thing. One, it is the easy to remember and be found. So this is our tagline, be memorable, be found. And on the other one is having a central place, clean, with all your data that you can share with everyone. So those are the two main aspects of it.
Okay, so I get the point of somebody, you know, we share our phrase with somebody, they have the app, they open it up, that's fine. What about for people who are looking to listen to a startup podcast? Will they be in the app just searching for startup podcast? And if we are the only ones who have registered a phrase, we are the only ones that will show?
Yes. So there are, I think that that is something that will emerge more later on. So I think at the start, obviously, when there are not millions of people on the service yet, I think that as we start, the main, if you want, the user journey is going to be more likely that someone is seeing the phrase that you are advertising yourself with and that arrived to you. But obviously, with time, or even now, for example, you say, oh, actually, I want to register a startup podcast, because someone might say, oh, let me see if there is something like that. So in that case, you become more like it's a fuzzy find engine. You know, we are, our trademark actually is find engine. You know, we are registered as the find engine because you don't search for things, you find them directly. So I think as we start, the user journey is that they will see the phrase from you and they will arrive directly to you. But as the service goes on and more people get phrases, we will have people searching randomly, not like they will do on Google, but they will say, oh, let me see if someone has registered or if there is a startups podcast, and they will search startup podcast. And if you have it, then they will see you, and exactly, they will see only you and no one else. So actually, in your case, probably, I would probably register a few phrases, startup podcast, startups podcast, and that's it, and they are yours. About that, before I forget, the phrases are uniquely owned by you, but they are not geolocated, but they are located by country. So that means that, for example, a startup podcast, you will have it for the UK. When we will launch, I don't know, in the US, in Germany, we want to launch, obviously, in every country in the world, that phrase will be available again to get in that country. But because you own it in one country, you will always have a precedence of saying, you know, we're launching, I don't know, in the US. We will let you know that, oh, actually, we're launching in the US. If you want it, also for the US, you can actually get it before we launch in there. Otherwise, it becomes available in there. And and also phrases can be in any language, obviously. So, you know, I don't know, if you launch in Italy, maybe you want to say it in Italian. Or maybe you want to say it in Italian, even if you're in the UK, whatever. I'm just saying that the service was born to be international in language and obviously international in terms of market.
Do you see, certainly recently with the rise of AI, certainly the ones that are connected to the web as well, do you see them as a bit of a threat with what you're doing as well? Because things like, for example, Bard, I know Bard, Google's version of Bard is not the best by comparison to others, but, you know, eventually when you can search through there and say, you know, find me, give me a list of three podcasts in the UK, they obviously have all the data in the background and it's just going to be pulling out, as opposed to ads, just very refined searches. Is that serious competition for you, or is that not at all?
No, I don't think so. I think that we are doing stuff completely, I think we are doing completely different. I mean, they're trying, once again, I think if you think about it, they're trying to make a search engine a bit more clever. But it is true that, you know, I use Bing, for example. Bing does what you say. You know, you just prompt the AI. What the AI does is literally prompting Bing in a more clever way, but anyway, it doesn't matter what it does. You are still going to, you're still searching for, and I think it's a different use case. The problem is search engines, when we started, I go back to the early, you know, early 2000s or late 90s, search engines were search engines. They were index of pages. There's nothing wrong. And I don't want to do, I'm not an index of pages. So the search engine, when you don't know what you want, so, you know, you say, I'm not looking for let's talk, let's talk startups. I just want to see what are the podcasts that talk about startups. That is a different thing. I'm not going over on that. That is not yet of our interest. It is in our interest on our roadmap, but not yet. My interest is, what if someone wants to reach you directly?
Right, okay.
To find you, not to search for a blog, for a podcast. They are not searching for a podcast. They just want to find you.
Right. Okay. Understood. So you mentioned about a recent launch. Firstly, tell our listeners how recent that launch was and how is it going so far? And what kind of feedback have you been getting since you launched?
Oh, it's been very recent. As you know, as in, well, and not yet much feedback, because we are just keeping it, well, till now, obviously. So, you know, you get the honor of making it public. We are keeping it quiet because obviously there is a waiting list. They're getting their phrases, and we are doing all sorts of internal testing. So it is as recent as 2 days, probably even less than 2 days ago. So very recent.
So this is fresh off the press.
It is as fresh as you can have it.
Definitely. When we talk about waiting list, Giancarlo, I'm going to ask you, you know, how much interest have you had on the waiting list?
The waiting list has been an interesting hit and miss, and it was a good lesson. I think I can probably go back to what we were saying at the start. So this is something, the concept of this thing is super simple. You know, it's very simple. You just have a phrase and you're found by your phrase. But it is so different from what everyone is used to that it is quite difficult to explain to people and then to tell them, actually, yeah, oh, this is what it does, but well, we're not live yet. People need to try it, need to see it how it works, because as I said, it's very simple, but it's completely, you know, it's just completely different from what we're used to. And the waiting list confirmed what I also noticed when I speak to people. And I spoke probably, I don't know, with hundreds of people in these months. And they always say, oh, that is so interesting. I just can't picture, I can't picture it in my head. Can I try it? And usually they speak to me. I had the running staging demo on my phone and I could show them to them. But if I'm not there and I can't show it to them, it has always been a bit challenging. So that's been the waiting list. If anything, proved that when you speak to people, when you tell them, they love it and they think, oh, this is such an obvious solution. But if you don't have the possibility of showing it to them, it is quite difficult, because it is really, for now, I mean, I'm pretty much confident that it will not be. And obviously my hope is that it will be something that will be so intuitive that people will think it's abnormal in the coming months or years. But at the moment, it is quite difficult to arrive to someone and say, yeah, we're doing something completely different from what you're used to.
And with that said, then, talk us through sort of the marketing plans that you sort of have thought about and potentially have then for when this goes fully live. Because I appreciate, yes, this is a hands-on, practical, you know, go try it type of exercise. And with that said, there must be a massive re-education piece. So what does marketing plans, what do they look like for you?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, obviously, we are very lucky because we got since the start, so probably last year, a marketing agency from Norwich, from here, Sunfire. And they, you know, it's very funny because they do SEO, and ranking and stuff. And so I went to them and I said, look, I've done something that literally is trying to put you off work, basically. You know, we want to make SEO not as relevant anymore. And they loved the idea. They said, right, okay, if this thing takes out, then we would rather be in it than be taken out from it. So, you know, they basically said, we are going to help you and be your marketing agency. And we are fully bootstrapped. So this is something else that I'm very proud of. We are a team of now probably 6 people plus the marketing agency. You know, we have 4 senior software engineers, social media manager, we are an advisor, marketing agency, and still everything is bootstrapped and everyone decided to be part of the company and invest in the company. So they are the ones that are doing the marketing plan. The marketing plan is going to be probably a textbook one for network products. So we're going to start forming a network of businesses here in Norwich, and then possibly Norfolk. So we're going to start local, trying, you know, our first case study. Let's see how it resonates. What are the groups of people that resonate with? And in the meantime, they will get phrases that when we will launch nationwide, they will already have it, and they will be available, obviously, all over the UK. And obviously, starting locally, we have all the contacts. So it's going to be more, as you said, a more hands-on experience. let's all be involved with it. Let's all talk to the people. Let's see how it goes. And then from there, we're going to see, okay, this is what works. And we will, at that point, once we have a case study and once I know what works, this is when I will start. Well, I'm already starting, but this is when I will do a serious funding round. At that point, I will go to investors and I'll say, okay, we have done this all on our own. We didn't do it without any money. And these are the numbers and this is what works. I need X amount of money to launch, I don't know, in Bristol or to launch in Oxford or to London, whatever else. Oh, but if you give me Y amount of money, I might launch nationwide. If you give me Z amount of money, I'm actually be able to launch nationwide and in Europe. So it's going to be more easy at that point to scale it up. But, you know, when you are bootstrapped, the problem is very often you end up doing, if you have £10,000, if you have £20,000, whatever it is much well spent, much better spent, in my opinion, if you try to create mass for your brand in your own small community. So if I can convince 100 people to use a phrase, I would rather have all of them in Southern Norwich more than having hundreds of them scattered all over the UK. Because if I have all of them in a small place, people will see my brand. Because obviously a big part of this, it is we want people to recognize our trademark logo, our quotes, like they recognize the G of Google. So I want my logo to be on vans, to be on shops, to be everywhere, so that basically when they see the phrase, I don't need anymore to tell them, you find me as whatever on words.tel, they will just see it and they will recognize it. To do that, unless you have millions of pounds, you just need to basically, you have to do two things. You have to either do a very, very narrow marketing persona, basically, or you have to start narrowing things geographically or as groups. In our case, there is the very good thing is that as Innovate UK, they are mentoring and coaching us since several months. As they say, the curse and the blessing of this service is that it can be used for anything and anyone. It's not a service that's tailored for one single use. You can use it for vans, you can use it for finding things, you can use it for finding services, you could use it for finding updates on public services like buses and taxis. I always say, if you're in a city, you need to know what are the taxis available? What is the traffic situation? You always have to search on Twitter. What is the Twitter account? Which ones? What if, on words.tel, name of the city, bus service. So everywhere in the UK, name of the city, bus service, and you find immediately all the links that you need, and you don't need anymore to do all of that stuff. So it can be used in so many ways, but there is also a problem because it makes it very hard to think, right, where do we start? You know, you need a small amount of things to start. So the way we do it, as I said, the marketing strategy, it is going to be the rebels or the disruptors, as I said before, in terms of what is the kind of audience we are going to target. And then we're going to do a very narrow geographical target as well to see what it works. And then obviously, build, as you say, for network products, build the smallest self-sustaining network you can. And once you find the way to do it, then you just replicate it. You form another network, maybe in another city. The network in another city will already connect with the one that you have, and suddenly you have a bigger network. And then you go to a third city. And, you know, if you see the history of all services, Facebook, Instagram, I mean, Tinder, everything, they all started in the same way. They started from local universities, campus, events, local stuff, small groups of people, everyone uses it, it works, everyone speaks about it, right, let's scale it up. This, as I said, unless you have someone, a VC that gives you, I don't know, £10 million, and then you can obviously splash all the money you want. But that's not the case nowadays.
Not yet. but that brings me to my sort of final point, really, which is the future and the plans ahead. And certainly I can hear this, you know, the brain's buzzing with lots of different directions and plans moving forward. So big question for you. Where do you find yourself? Where do you find words.tel in, let's say, 10 years, Giancarlo?
Well, I mean, in 10 years' time, I think that, you know, the way I see us is that obviously we just took over the world in terms of fine engine, and everyone will be familiar with the concept of a fine engine. The thing with this service, I think it was the tell, is that there's not really a midway, and I think probably this is what I like about it. Basically, it's either not going to work or it's going to take over. There is not midway, because it's not a, it's either a service where millions of people are, otherwise it doesn't make much sense. So there's no midway with this service. You know, it's just, you know, is it, it will fail or it will just go big. There's not middling in the middle. And that's always been clear to everyone. So what I see in 10 years, I don't know, maybe that Google will try to buy us and we will say no, or that we'll try to implement a system like ours, but then obviously it becomes difficult because people will have the phrases on our one. So, you know, it's not very easy to do that. I don't know. I mean, I see definitely by taking taking over and just people starting to have two ways of using the internet. If you need to find someone, that is worth the tell. If you don't know what you're looking for, you just need to search, then you can use search engines, whatever. But for visibility, for being remembered and being found, you don't need that. You know, we're talking about as well roadmaps. So because we're talking about 10 years, I mean, there is a roadmap that is much shorter than that, with some key services that we are going to develop. Probably a couple of them I can speak about. One of them is going to be, a directory service. So at the moment, as I said before, you see the phrase and you find the business, the person that owns it. But phrases, they lend themselves to quite interesting, interactive, engaging way of, in this case, browsing through the phrase. You know, like the old Yahoo directory, you know, where you were the categories and things. If you think about phrases, because they make sense in terms of language, in particular using modern AIs, we have quite a good few ideas in terms of engaging people into, okay, you almost don't tell. It's not necessarily because I know who I want to find, but let me explore in an interesting, engaging way. Who is there? What are the interesting phrases? You know, it's a more like left brain sort of thing, engaging one. So there is going to be a directory service. So if you have a phrase, you are also featured on the website in this way. Something else that we have asked for, we will have a marketplace. Because people might not be interested anymore in a phrase, or maybe a phrase is already of someone and you really want that phrase for whatever reason. But we want to avoid what we've seen with domain names and, you know, other websites where basically people sell stuff for stupid amounts of money or in an unsafe way. So we will have a marketplace is going to be the only place where users can exchange phrases and, you know, sell and buy phrases between themselves. We have all sort of, as I said, there are so many use cases that we're thinking about it. And at some point that sometimes people tell us about, that there is a very, very long roadmap, but the first two things will be this one's a discovery service and then, a marketplace for the things. So yeah, 10 years time, you know, as I said, I will either be doing something else or this thing will be everywhere.
It's always tough, isn't it? At the beginning of, you know, asking a big question like that for 10 years time, there's obviously so many things, there's so many ideas, so many things that you want to do. I get that's a difficult question. Okay, so people that listen to the podcast, I'm sure you know yourself, Giancarlo, this is the part where we have a little bit of fun, but we're not going to go a completely different direction. We're going to stick to the phrase factory idea that you have on your website, but it's going to be our own version of the phrase factory. And what we'd like you to do is create some unique, memorable phrases for some of these well-known brands. Now, you can be as unique as you want. You can pick whatever you like for them, I guess. So I'm going to give you a few names and let's see what you can come up with yourself. So let's start with your main competitor then, Google. Come up with a nice, okay, memorable phrase for Google if they were listed on words.tel.
You said nice, so, you know, I can't do what I wanted to do.
No, I say nice, actually, but you can be nice or not nice. And given that when we started, you said that they were evil, maybe evil comes into this phrase. So yeah. You can, Yeah, I say nice, but not necessarily nice.
This is a safe space. Go for it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, you would, yeah, but, you know, when I was talking with our legal consultant about some of the phrases I wanted to use on our advertising with Google, you know, he definitely said, no, you can't do that. It really happened. I'm not joking.
Avoid a lawsuit, yeah.
Exactly.
To be fair, if Google are listening in or any of these big companies, this is a bit of fun. There isn't anything that I hope that's going to cause any legal wranglings with us or Giancarlo. So that's a disclaimer so that nobody gets in trouble here. So have as much fun as you like. Have as much fun as you like. That's what we're here for.
Yeah, I like it's probably the evil Goliath, I suppose.
The evil Goliath. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, it's not
Airbnb.
I love Airbnb. I mean, it was not my memo, but I like to stay at my place. But I will probably put something with a rhyme. I love rhymes, but stay at my place. Yeah. Or stay with me, stay at my place, something like that. Although, with Airbnb, what I will do, Airbnb, if you're listening, just, you know, that will, you know, you will know how to reach me. What I will do is that every single house on Airbnb should have their own phrase, so that, you know, it's not a phrase for Airbnb. The phrases are for the people on Airbnb. So instead of having to go to Airbnb and searching for the house, This is the way that we are experimenting with others. So, you know, stay with, for example, I don't know, I am in Eaton Village, and, you know, Eaton Village in Norwich is quite boring. There's nothing happening, but we have a very nice marsh. This is a park. So I don't know, I would say something funny with the marsh, that, you know, you don't want to stay in the marsh, but, you know, I would probably say something like, you know, stay in the marsh or come to the marshes or something like that. And that would be my space on B&B. So when people want to have it, then, you know, they will find me easily instead of having to remember what I'm, you know, what's the name of stuff. So yeah, I would probably think about particular phrases for each of the people on Airbnb.
Okay. I like that. That's a good idea. Okay. Moving on. Uber.
If they are on time, take me everywhere. When they're late, it doesn't happen often. But, you know, but let's say that they're not. Take me everywhere.
Okay. Take me everywhere. I like that one. Cadbury's.
Oh, I mean, that is probably more my own experience. I would say sweet petrol station. And I know it doesn't make any sense, but the most of the times I buy the Cadbury's is when I just put petrol, and, you know, they're always there by the counter, and you just get them.
Okay, sticking with a sweet theme then, Coca-Cola.
Oh, once again, personal experience, wake me up.
Okay, yeah. And the final one, Nike.
Oh, I think that they have the best one. I don't think I can think about anything. Yeah. They do.
Come on then, let's give your own spin on it then.
It's hard to disrupt Just Do It, isn't it?
Yeah, Just Do It is so brilliant. Well, I mean, considering that logo, you know, obviously, I always think about a swoop. I don't know if swoop is even a word, but, you know, it's like swooping. So let's swoop. Let's swoop, just literally trying. We all know that for branding and marketing, when you have a name, when you have a brand name and you can make a verb out of it, then usually you just win big times. So in that case, Just Do It is fantastic, but maybe, you know, there is Googling. Maybe there can be just, you know, swoop or swooping, swoop it, or let's swoop something with the logo. For me, it's always a swoop. I don't know why.
Well, obviously, it goes without saying that we have to mention here as well that if Nike are listening and you do decide to adopt such a great strap line, you have to pay royalties to Giancarlo directly. So just in case they're listening.
And
to
you, we will share them. We'll share them, you know, to all of us.
You heard it here first, point, folks. Perfect.
Exactly. That's the important thing.
Giancarlo, it's been such a pleasure to have you on today and chat with you. And what an honour to be able to sort of, you know, discuss all the latest hot of the press developments with the brand as well. Certainly wishing you the best moving forwards. You're going to have to definitely come back for part two and tell us how it's going, whether you stuck with it or whether you're doing something else.
Absolutely.
See how it goes. But thank you so much.
No, thank you for having me. It's been very good fun and fantastic. Thank you very much. And I hope, obviously, that your listeners enjoyed. And, you know, if they have questions and stuff, I'm on LinkedIn, whatever, you know, obviously, they can contact me.
Yeah, thank you so much, Giancarlo. I'm sure they're going to enjoy this episode very much. And yeah, to be honest, we do give thanks to everybody that is listening in and enjoying the podcast series, especially from the messages that we get very regularly, actually. We do have plenty more inspiring founders lined up to chat with, and they're all going to be coming to you very soon. So stay tuned, subscribe so that you don't miss out on anything. But until the next time, take care and bye for now.